Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. We do this by speaking a little more slowly than normal and using words that are easier to understand. At the same time, we talk about interesting and important events that are happening all around us. Today, we have two stories for you. We will begin with a story about weather and how it has threatened the lives of thousands of refugees in the Middle East. Then, a story that is much more fun to listen to. It's about how some people are trying to keep animals happy. If you are ready, let's get started with part one of As It Is. A strong winter storm struck the Middle East in the middle of January. The storm has been called one of the strongest to hit the area in 10 years. Hundreds of thousands of refugees were affected by the cold and snow. Many of the refugees live in temporary shelters, largely unprotected from the cold. Some tent settlements are found in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Others are in the mountains of northern Lebanon. It is a daily fight for survival. Christopher Cruz reports.
More than 1 million people have fled to Lebanon, driven out of Syria by the conflict there. But in Lebanon, they face another threat. In the Baqa area, the refugees deal with freezing temperatures. There were reports earlier this month that at least 3 refugees died during heavy snowfall and storms. Fatmi Zakour's husband was killed in the Syrian war. She now lives in a refugee camp with 120 Syrians. She is worried about her 3 children. She told VOA, "We were in a house. We were so happy there. Everything changed for us here. My husband was killed, and I have 2 handicapped kids. And my oldest daughter has heart problems. Everything changed. We're living in a tent now. We aren't used to living in a tent. Everything is different." But help came for Fatmi Zakour and her family after the storms. The Lebanese government and non-governmental organizations sent doctors to the camps in an effort to help the families living in the basic, simple tents. But there are at least 400,000 refugees in the Baqa area, and hundreds of thousands in other parts of Lebanon. Reports estimate 83% of them are women and children. It will be difficult to help them all. Dr. Fatima Al-Moussaoui works for Lebanon's Ministry of Health. Before the storms, many refugees were able to deal with the weather, but they were not expecting the extreme cold and made no plans for how they would stay warm. There are many young children and old people among the refugees. Aid workers had to go into each tent and provide medical care there because the people inside were often unable to leave their tent. The refugee settlements do not have good roads, fresh water, or electricity. Experts say Lebanon is now home to 1.6 million refugees. Many live in the more than 1,400 temporary camps across the country. For many of the refugees, this is not their first winter living in such conditions. but it is one of the coldest. Some of them are in poor health. Breathing problems and infections are common. The cold weather worsens the health of individuals with long-term disorders. The United Nations Children's Fund is working with local groups to give clothing to refugee children. UN agencies are also providing blankets and food. Joe Awad leads a local aid group. He says there was only one big storm and less snow last year, but more donations.
Last year, there was more money and more funding to help them than this year. So this year, even all the UN agencies, and they lack funding for this.
There are new calls for the international community to give more aid to the refugees. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Here's a question for you. Can animals be artistic? Some experts think so. Painting and music are part of efforts to keep animals happy at the Smithsonian Institution's National Zoo here in Washington, D.C. As we hear from Ashley Thompson, zookeepers believe that animals need enrichment just like people do.
A sloth bear called Francois is one of the National Zoo's resident artists. He began his artistic career 2 years ago. Francois has a very unusual way to paint, a technique, some would say. He uses his breath to paint. His zookeeper, Stacy Tabellario, says that although the technique may look strange, it is actually a very natural behavior for sloth bears.
They've got big, big lungs, and they can suck things up, and then in the same breath, they can exhale a huge amount of air. So we took this natural behavior of the exhale, we stuffed up one of those tubes full of paint, and we asked him to exhale through it, and that expels all of the paint onto the canvas, making these really cool paintings.
Animal artists come in all shapes and sizes at the Smithsonian's National Zoo. They use many kinds of techniques to create their works of art. Many use their paws or claws, much like a human painter would use his or her hands. Apes use paintbrushes. Stacy Tabellario says Francois seems to enjoy expressing himself through his art.
When I set up the materials for a painting activity, he comes and sits next to them and waits until we're ready to start painting. He does that every time. I also see where his eyes go, that he does see the paint come out of the tube and land on the canvas.
But not every animal wants to paint. Kenton Kearns cares for animals in the zoo's small mammals building.
Painting is absolutely a choice. So it's very clear to us if an animal does not want to do a painting session. And if that's the case, we'll stop it right away. We'll choose another animal and give them the opportunity to do it.
Music is another part of the arts enrichment program. Ms. Tabellario heads the zoo's enrichment and training committee. She says physically and mentally stimulating activities are an important part of the daily care of the animals. Trainers have a lot of tools, from tablet computers to small playthings. Kenton Kearns says the program helps the animals and the zookeepers in many ways.
Every interaction between keeper staff and their animals creates some sort of bond. And hopefully, especially with enrichment sessions like this, it creates a stronger bond.
The one-of-a-kind works of art created by the animals are popular with zoo visitors. Many are sold at the zoo's fundraising events. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. You are listening to The Voice of America. Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Elections in Greece on Sunday put politician Alexis Tsipras and his Syriza party in power in the heavily indebted country. Prime Minister Tsipras gained popularity by promising to end austerity policies. Those are measures to shrink the government budget and reduce spending. Mr. Tsipras has said he will renegotiate the terms of loans from the European Union and International Monetary Fund. They offered Greece $268 billion in assistance in 2010 and 2011 to help prevent a financial disaster in the country. EU finance ministers have suggested giving Greece, an EU member, more time to pay back its loans. However, there is little support for cancelling any of the debt. Dionysos Dimitrakopoulos is a political expert at the University of London. He says EU members know that they are not getting the results they wanted from Greece's austerity program.
The institutions of the EU and other member states realize that the program that has been implemented in Greece is not producing the desired results to the extent that they wanted it. So something has to change. In my book, this is common ground for negotiation.
Mr. Tsipras has tried to show that he means to change Greek politics. For example, he did not include a religious act at his swearing-in ceremony. Greek Orthodox officials traditionally give a blessing. The new leader's Syriza party joined with the right-wing Independent Greeks Party to form a ruling coalition in parliament. Both parties want to change the terms of Greece's loan deal, but they agree on little else. EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker told reporters that EU officials would have to look at the demands of the new Greek government. But he also said that the EU rules were established through a common agreement with Greek officials. Germany, Europe's largest economy, is considered the strongest supporter of austerity measures. Government officials have stated that it may be better for Greece to stop using the euro as its currency. However, expert Dionysos Dimitrakopoulos says the cost of Greece leaving the eurozone may be too high.
It is in nobody's interests, and that concerns not only Greece but also Germany, France and so on, for Greece to withdraw from the eurozone, because the next question will be who will be the next country to withdraw.
Whether Greece will stay in the eurozone is not the only question EU officials might face. British Prime Minister David Cameron has said he would seek to renegotiate Britain's relationship with the EU if his Conservative Party wins elections in May. And that's the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic, from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we tell you all about this year's Super Bowl, the championship game of professional American football. But first, we go underground in New York, where we can ride the subways or look at art. Millions of New Yorkers and visitors ride the city's subway and other trains each day. The public transportation system offers more than just a trip, however. It also has one of the most extensive public art collections in the world, with much of it under city streets. Some people call it New York's Underground Art Museum. It includes more than 250 works of art. They are meant to brighten everyone's ride around the city. There is the huge painting of the night sky on the ceiling of Grand Central Terminal. New Yorkers have been looking up at that artwork for 100 years. In the nearby Grand Central Market, you can find a large crystal light fixture. The ice-like stones hang on the chandelier's many branches, making the piece look like an upside-down olive tree. Sculptor Donald Lipsky completed the work in 1988. Other artists include new ones and the long famous. Roy Lichtenstein's pop art porcelain enamel mural is found at Times Square. Sol Lewitt's intensely colored Whirls and Twirls is at Columbus Circle. Sandra Bloodworth has directed the Metropolitan Transportation Authority's arts program since it began in 1985.
But actually, it really began much earlier when the subway was founded in 1904. A percentage, if you will, of money had been set aside to create a special ornamentation within the system in order to make the place this very special place that people would want to use.
For the past 30 years, artists have been asked to make works that relate to city life or to the neighborhood around a train station. There are coastal scenes at stations near the Atlantic Ocean. Native plants and flowers can be found in a garden scene in Brooklyn. Wildlife mosaics greet visitors arriving at the subway station next to the American Museum of Natural History. Sculptor Tom Otterness created the small, rounded metal creatures that populate another station. At Times Square, Jane Dixon's mosaics of the Revelers suggest New Year's Eve celebrants. Writer Tanya Peer praises the underground art.
When I'm stressed, I look at the subway art. I love the colors. Where I live, they have a mosaic of a man and a woman like floating across water, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful to have art everywhere.
Nearby is Alejandra Acosta, a visitor from Colombia. She stopped to take a picture of a colorful glass mosaic mural by the former artist Jacob Lawrence.
It's nice when you see these kind of things that catch your eye when you're walking in spaces like the subway stations that seem to be a little bit dull. They don't have a lot of decoration.
The new Fulton Center train station connects 9 major subway lines. A massive work by James Carpenter sits atop the center. Sandra Bloodworth calls it the Metropolitan Transportation Authority's crowning piece of art.
Together, they've created this work of art that brings light into the station. As Jamie Carpenter says, the sky is folded onto the sky reflector and down onto the people as they travel through the station.
Even on cloudy winter days, the piece brings life into the dark passages. The same could be said, in fact, about all the works in New York City's Underground Art Museum. Words in this story. Subway, noun, a system of underground trains in a city. Ceiling, noun, the inside surface at the top of a room. Chandelier, noun, a large decorated light that hangs from a ceiling and has branches for holding many light bulbs or candles. Mural, noun, a usually large painting that is done directly on the surface of a wall. Scene, a view or sight that looks like a picture. Mosaic, noun, a decoration on a surface made by pressing small pieces of colored glass or stone into a soft material that then hardens to make pictures or patterns. More than 100 million Americans will be doing the same thing this Sunday. Many will break into laughter at the same time, or cry out in moments of shared emotional suffering. And everyone will eat and drink. This event does not involve a church, mosque, or temple, but for many, the experience is almost religious. So, have you guessed what is happening February 1st in America? If you said the Super Bowl, you got it right. The Super Bowl is the yearly championship game of professional American football. This year, the battling teams are the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. It is not the first championship game for either team. In fact, the Seahawks are the defending champions. They won last year's Super Bowl for the first time. They had been to the game one other time, in 2006. The Patriots have won 3 Super Bowls. They have been to 8. And the team has not had a losing season, a season where it lost more games than it won, since the year 2000. This year, the game will be played in Glendale, Arizona. It is a desert area, and the weather there on game day is expected to be sunny and about 27 degrees Celsius. Watching men catch balls, run, and crush each other to prevent a touchdown is not all the audience expects from a Super Bowl. It is also famous for its halftime music show. Last year, the singer Bruno Mars performed, along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, her eyes, make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. This year, the headliner is pop singer Katy Perry. You're so hypnotizing. Could you be the devil? Could you be an angel? The 30-year-old Perry spoke last week to ESPN, the magazine. She expressed excitement about her Super Bowl appearance. I feel like I've outdreamt my dream, she said. Katy Perry shot to fame in 2008 with hits like I Kissed a Girl and Hot and Cold. Much of her music urges girls to be strong and independent, like Roar. I got the eye of the tiger. Rock and roller and Hunger Games actor Lenny Kravitz will also perform at the show. He released his 10th studio album, Strut, in September of last year. The other popular entertainment provided for Super Bowl audiences are television advertisements. A 30-second commercial during the game costs a company $4.5 million this year. Who can pay those amounts? Many companies do in order to reach the largest television audience of the year. Anheuser-Busch is a traditional buyer. The famous beer maker purchased 7 30-second spots this year, more than any other advertiser. The ship transportation company, Carnival Corporation, is showing a commercial during the Super Bowl for the first time. Most of the Super Bowl commercials are meant to make people laugh. The web company GoDaddy.com is famed for its humorous advertising. However, this year, GoDaddy withdrew its planned commercial after protests from animal protection groups. The commercial featured a puppy that was being sold online. Protesters argued that online sales of animals leave them at risk of abuse and worse. This week, GoDaddy announced it would air a different ad. The National Football League owns the Super Bowl game. Last year, the league faced an angry public and protests after player Ray Rice hit his girlfriend, now wife, in the face. The incident was captured on video. The NFL suspended Rice, and the Baltimore Ravens team dismissed him. The NFL will use 30 seconds during the Super Bowl for a public service announcement to fight abuse against women and family violence. I'm Katie Weaver. I got the eye of the tiger. Words in this story. Touchdown, noun. American football. A score that is made by carrying the ball over the opponent's goal line or by catching the ball while standing in the end zone. Audience, noun. A group of people who gather together to listen to something, such as a concert, or watch something, such as a movie or play. The people who attend a performance. Halftime, noun. The period of rest between the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half in games like football and basketball. Commercial, noun. An advertisement on radio or television. Puppy, noun, a young dog.